It's Charlotte Talks. I'm Julie Rose, in for Mike Collins this Monday. If you're a resident of Charlotte, you're likely to soon get hit with two property tax hikes. And that's because both the city and Mecklenburg County are considering raising their property tax rates. Why? That's what we aim to find out on the show today. The city's total budget for next year is just shy of $2 billion. The county's is just a little less, at about $1.5 billion. Now, the county and the city have very different responsibilities, and it can get a little confusing since the city and the county actually share virtually the same borders. So here's how it breaks down. The county sees itself as maybe the softer side of government, responsible for services that touch people: education, health and social services, libraries, parks. Now, the city handles infrastructure, roads, water and sewer lines, and also the brass tacks, police and fire. Later on in the show, interim county manager Bobby Shields will join us to talk about the straightforward choice he says the county faces: raise taxes or cut services. But first, let's focus on Charlotte's budget with city manager Ron Carley. Mr. Carley, thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
And now you've brought along city budget director Randy Harrington. Randy, thanks for being here as
well. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So first, with this tax increase, now we have actually heard quite a bit of conversation about this because it's something the city council has been struggling with for more than a year at this point. You, in your first month on the job, have proposed a 3.17 cent increase in the rate. So that, I think that equates to an extra maybe $63 on a home worth $200,000. This is not to fund the city's basic budget, though. Is that right, Mr. Carley?
That is correct.
Okay.
You said that understanding what goes on between the city and the county can be a little bit confusing. Well, that will be the understatement of the day. It's extremely confusing for the taxpayer, and the same is true when you start looking at the details of the city's budget and the county's budget. It's pretty bewildering, I think, to the average person. But in simple terms of the city's budget, we have what are the normal day-to-day operating things that we do, which we refer to as the general fund, and then we make investments in the community, which we call the capital investment program. And the tax rate increase that is proposed is specifically to build things that are important for sustaining Charlotte for the long term and enabling us to grow within our borders.
Okay, so the size of that then, I mean, how much money could we get with 3.17 cent increase?
With that increase combined with the base tax rate for the CIP, we'll end up with something like $800 million capital investment over the next several years. And there will then be spinoff economic benefits to that public investment, resulting in about $2.2 billion in private economic activity and 18,400 jobs. This is a big investment in the community with significant spinoff.
But this capital improvement investment program that we do, I mean, the city does this every couple of years. We're frequently having a capital investment program. So what does this new one do that we haven't already done, or that's not already a continuation of what we've already done?
Right. Actually, you're doing a capital investment program literally all the time. You have to be reinvesting in a city and able to maintain what you have built. You know, think about your house. If you don't maintain your house, what happens to it? And so the city has a lot of houses to maintain, a lot of roads, a lot of sidewalks, a lot of infrastructure. And at the same time, we need to build new infrastructure. So our capital investment program is, on one hand, maintenance, which is just, you know, it's not fun, it's not sexy. I mean,
how— Potholes, is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, well, think about replacing your air conditioning at home. How fun is that investment? I mean, all you're doing is just sort of keeping up with where you are, and we have to do that, again, the equivalent of that all over the place. But there's some new things in here that are very exciting. There are new police stations in Charlotte. There is this great trail crossing the county and the city that is extremely exciting. And so it's a balance across all of those different elements.
The renovation of Bojangles Arena is included in that plan, and that would be the idea to renovate it to create a a better place for amateur sports.
That's right. Now, that will be contingent upon private investment. One of the things we try to do with city capital dollars is make sure that we leverage future private investment. And with Bojangles in particular, there will need to be private money to come to the table to help realize that vision and revitalize that facility.
Okay. Now, what's not in this capital investment program is a streetcar, which was last year and is the reason that we don't have one yet, because the city council couldn't come to some agreement on that. So you've taken the streetcar out, but that doesn't mean you've abandoned the streetcar.
That's right. The city council last week approved the CityLink's Gold Line Phase 2.
It's a new name for it.
It's the new name for it, and as everyone hopefully knows, the Phase 1 is already under construction. So we've already invested in the initiation of this In the Street Rail project. Phase 2 was approved by the City Council last Tuesday. It is subject to 50% funding from the federal government, about $63 million, which we are now aggressively beginning to go after. And we reallocated non-property tax existing resources, mostly savings from a variety of projects, to create a contingency for the city match if we're able to get the federal money.
Okay, so it only happens if we can get a federal grant to pay for half of it, which is about $63
million. That's right.
Is that what I heard you
That's
say?
That's right.
Why is it worth, at this time, I guess, in our recovery from the recession, why is it a good idea, do you think, to spend down our savings on this?
Yeah, well, we're not spending down our savings. We're using money that we have saved from other projects, but we still have a significant reserve fund. Randy, remind me, what is our percentage and dollar amount on the city's reserve fund?
So the general fund balance target is 16%, and equates to about $89 million.
And so this is extremely healthy. Many cities have reserve funds around 5 to 10%. And so Charlotte has been very conservative in its fiscal planning, and we're not putting any of that in jeopardy whatsoever. Part of what we want to do by these investments is continue the recovery. Remember, the dollars that we spend on capital investment go to create jobs and to stimulate private investment, and we believe that this will help Charlotte significantly with its recovery.
Now, one thing I do want to just cover on the capital investment plan program, which I think a lot of people miss, is there will have to be a bond vote, right? In November, people will get to go to the polls and say, yes, I approve of spending this money on these various police stations and Bojangles Arena stuff, right?
Well, as we started this conversation, it's always a little bit more complicated than that. And so what the voters will be asked to approve will be authority for the city to issue what are called general obligation bonds, which enable us to pledge the full faith and credit of the city in financing capital projects. That will not be done until November of next year. We will not have a bond referendum this year. I expect the county will have some bonds on the ballot this year, but the city bonds won't be until 2014. And the actual specifics of what we ask the voters to approve won't be defined until sometime next year.
Okay, but the tax increase would go into effect this July.
That's right. And that enables us to begin to accumulate funds in order to be able to fund more ultimately over time. And I do want
What happens though, but what happens if the public says, no, I don't like the way you want to spend this
money?
Well,
bonds are not the only way that we finance our projects. We finance some of our projects just simply with cash, and we finance our projects with some other financial products that actually do not require voter referendum. It's a kind of a lease purchase. They're called certificates of participation here in Charlotte, a very common way. So the actual financing of projects is extremely complex. What the voters are asked to approve is the kind of financing against which the city basically will pledge its first dollar against repayment of that debt.
Okay. So I want to go back to what you said about how we're coming out of this, we're recovering, coming out of a recession. You have proposed for your general base budget for the city, not including all the extra capital stuff you want to do, you have proposed essentially a basic budget, correct? So not an increase in spending, very much at least. So why?
I think that's a really important point, because the basic operations of government, the day-to-day operations, there is no proposed tax increase for any of those functions. So we've worked really hard to stay within our revenues for our ongoing operations, and the investment which we're asking people to make in increased taxes is to help grow the city. And just to put that in perspective, based on the average value of a home in Charlotte, it's about $3.44 a month. $3.44 a month is the increase.
Is the increase in
property tax for the capital investment program.
Okay. So on the basic budget, though, I mean, there were quite a few cuts. The city did have to tighten its belt. And Randy, you were there, the one helping to make sure we could, during the recession, because we had a decrease in collection of our taxes. So are we still feeling the legacy of those recessionary cuts, or is this sort of business as usual now? I mean, what do we need to kind of rebuild to get back to where we were if that were our goal?
Mm-hmm. Well, on the sales tax side, we still have not reached 2008 levels, and it's probably going to be another year or two. So from that standpoint, sales tax has not fully recovered. The property tax, though, is a steady, stable revenue source for the city, and that has grown, although much less so in the last couple of years. And then, of course, with the revaluation study that's going on now with Mecklenburg County, we do anticipate, for the first time in some modern memory, a reduction of 1.7% in our property tax revenue for this next upcoming fiscal year.
So you're saying that the property values that were assessed when the revaluation took place by the county assessor's office in 2011, that some of those we now know turned out to be too high. And so as they bring those back down, reassess those, that the city's going to collect less money in property taxes
correct.
Than you thought.
Correct. About 1.7% less, correct.
Okay. So where does most of the city's money come from? Which of those taxes?
It is property taxes. Most cities depend most heavily on property taxes. In Charlotte specifically, it's like 64% of our general fund revenues. And the next closest is sales tax at only 14%. So property taxes are hugely important in providing the basic services around police, fire, and solid waste.
And where does most of the money go in the city budget? Which of those?
That is it. It is police, fire, and solid waste. That is over 60% of the general fund budget.
Which of those gets the most?
Police by far.
Now,
again, police, this is probably one of those important complications. The police department does cover all of City of Charlotte and all of the County of Mecklenburg. And that is about 42% of our total general fund budget. Our fire department is just the City of Charlotte Fire Department, although we provide mutual aid. And that's about half as much as police. It's about 20% of the general fund budget.
So is the police department – I mean, surely their needs have increased. Is the police department happy with your not recommending an increase to their budget?
I think we have a from a policy standpoint, a very balanced budget. Police department placed a high premium on getting better visibility in the communities, and so part of the major investment in the capital side are additional police stations where they can operate out of their community-oriented policing model.
Now, utilities is something you didn't mention in that list of the three, right?
So, that's correct.
Utilities, though, is a large portion of what the city does. And yet again, the utilities department is proposing a rate increase this year. Is this just going to be inevitable? Why are we getting yearly increases in utility rates?
Right, because preparing drinking water and disposing of wastewater continue to increase in cost. And I don't expect that many cities will ever see an actual decrease in the cost of water and sewage treatment, which is why we have a very strong emphasis on conservation. And that's going to be the best way to save money.
We're going to talk more about the utility rate increase in just a few minutes, but we need to take a break. This is Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and NC State University's Jenkins Professional Online MBA program, offering accelerated and flexible course plans to fit any schedule or location. Information at mba.ncsu.edu. Tomorrow on Charlotte Talks, a program about the Medicaid program in North Carolina, which many say is in distress. Recently, the state legislature gave Governor McCrory the green light to pump $450 million into Medicaid to address a growing shortfall. The money will also go to clean up budgetary gaps from recent past. But the governor has even bigger reforms in mind for Medicaid in North Carolina. We'll hear about that from a panel of experts when Charlotte Talks, tomorrow at 9, here on 90.7 WFAE. If you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call now, 704-926-WFAE, 800-603-WFAE, or join us online at wfae.org/charlottetalks.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the White House is at odds with Congress over setting student loan rates, what each plan could mean for students' families, and the cost of a college education.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Julie Rose in for Mike Collins, and we're talking budget and tax increases with Charlotte City Manager Ron Carley and Budget Director Randy Harrington. You can give us a call with your questions at 704-926-9323 or send an email to charlottetalks@wfae.org. Just before the break, we started talking about utilities. That's the other place that the city residents in Charlotte are going to feel this budget. There is a proposed rate increase for utilities, water and sewer in Charlotte. Now, you were saying, Mr. Carley, that water and sewer lines need to be fixed and dealt with over time. But is there not some way to structure the utility budget so that it's more sustainable, so that we don't have to have this yearly rate increase routine?
Well, the amount of the increase, I would argue, is really not that extreme, especially for what you're getting. The average increase for water and sewer is about $2.50 a month, which is 2.5 gallons of water at Food Lion or Harris Teeter. When you look at what we provide in terms of water and water treatment, I mean, it's really pretty amazing. I mean, bottled water, as we're drinking right here, has gotten extremely popular, and many households are spending a tremendous amount on bottled water, much of which is not of a quality equivalent to our municipal water. Would you venture to guess what a gallon of city water costs?
To treat?
The actual cost of a gallon of water delivered directly to your home.
Mm, I have no idea.
Would you guess? Now, it costs you about $1.
In the store.
The store.
Oh, I'm sure it's much less than that. Maybe 25 cents?
Down.
Oh, 10 cents?
Down.
3 cents.
A third of a cent.
Oh.
A third of a cent. Now, the problem is it costs a lot more to treat it. And a lot of the increase in cost is really on the treatment side. It costs about 3 times as much to treat our wastewater than to actually prepare our drinking water because of, you know, the complex processes, the chemicals that have to be used, large amount of electricity. And it really is chemicals and electricity as much as anything that drive the cost of water treatment.
I think something that that sort of grates on people a little bit is that, you know, we had this drought a number of years ago, and during that period we were encouraged to conserve. People got good at conserving, so good that in fact water usage for the city has declined, and so we're being asked to pay more because we're using less. So it feels like you're being punished for being efficient. And I guess that has a lot of people wondering. I know a couple of years ago the city instituted a usage fee, an additional usage fee to try to even out the collection so that the utilities department would have the money it needed. And yet we're still getting these monthly increases, which it's just psychologically painful for people.
Yeah, although, again, I think the overall amount is really quite modest, and I don't know that most people really see it and feel it at that level. I would say the water and sewer of all the public services we get from any level of government is probably the best buy out there. I'm happy to be able to buy a gallon of water delivered to my home for a third of a cent. It's really pretty amazing. But I think it is important for us to continue to conserve so that as we grow, we won't have to expand our actual water treatment in terms of drinking water, but also on our wastewater as well. And one of the big drivers in our treatment of wastewater is people putting fats and grease through the drain. You know, we love our fried food in the South, and I do too, but it's really important that people keep the fat, oils, and grease out of the drains. That is the single biggest problem we have with maintaining our sewer system. And by the way, okra is really, really delicious if you roast it instead of frying it.
Spoken as you're from Alabama, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okra is a very important staple in our diet. And I just discovered roasted okra in the past couple of years. Cut it like you would fry it, toss it with a little olive oil, salt, pepper, roast it in the oven. It's as good as fried without the grease.
If you're just tuning in, this is not a cooking show. This is a budget conversation with Charlotte City Manager Ron Carley and Budget Director Randy Harrington. In a few minutes, we'll have their county counterparts on to talk about the county budget. I do want to just transition for our last couple of minutes here and talk about transit, which is another portion of the city's budget, a large portion. It looks to me in your budget like the primary new expenditure for this coming year is 12 additional positions for streetcar operations. So this is just for the 1.5 mile starter that we've got going here uptown. 12 positions, and where's that money coming from, and can we actually sustain that moving forward?
Well, I think we have to sustain it. I mean, those are your operators, maintenance, and other positions necessary for what is really starting a new line. We have seen the success in Charlotte from the first rail line that we started, the Blue Line. I mean, it's truly phenomenal. I mean, you go down to the South Side and you look at the impact there. It's just truly, absolutely amazing. And we're certainly going to realize a significant return on the investment in the Blue Line in the South. And certainly to the Blue Line in the north. The Gold Line becomes that next phase that enables us to be able to really stimulate the economic development as well as efficient transportation that will enable us to grow and to sustain ourselves. It is part of our sustainment program to provide the kind of amenities and transportation and opportunities for denser development that's critical for a city that cannot annex anymore.
Now, I know you see transit, like the streetcar and the light rail, as an important economic development tool, that it encourages people to build and invest along that line and revitalize certain corridors. But is there a way, I mean, CATS itself, so the transit system, if I'm reading these budget documents right, the transit system gets money out of the city's general fund. I think it's going to get about $20 million from the city's general fund for maintenance effort in this coming year.
Nobody has any idea what that means. But basically, it goes back to when the decision was made to fund transit out of the new half-cent sales tax. Mm-hmm. The city was already investing in transit, and there was a requirement that the city continue to invest what it was contributing previously, and that's where that number comes from, is maintenance of effort.
So the public property tax dollars then are going toward transit via the general fund. Is that correct?
Well, you can slice and dice it a lot of different ways. Again, there's a lot of money other than property tax within our general fund budget.
Okay.
And as we reallocated funds to support the next phase of the Gold Line, we were able to do that without tapping into any property taxes. And I think we can segregate that in the future if that becomes, you know, politically important in the city. But ultimately, the bottom line is that to grow, this city has to invest in transit and the rest of its infrastructure.
So here's, I guess, what I'm getting at. The city has what I understand you call enterprise funds. So there are a number of sort of divisions. I think utilities is one of them that sort of operates its own budget, but it's under the city. CATS, the transit system, is one. And then the airport is one. Now, the airport is an economic development tool, and it takes no money out of the city's general fund. It is wildly successful by all standards that I understand at maintaining its own, at sustaining itself. So the transit system is not. Why is there a way that we could make our transit system sustain itself in the same way that the airport does?
There is no transportation system outside the airport that sustains itself. Why don't we have toll roads for all of our streets in Charlotte? It's just not practical. And gas taxes aren't fully covering streets and the sidewalks and the trails. And there is no transit system anywhere that can sustain itself just on user fees. And at the same time, it's really important that our transit and our streets and our sidewalks and our trails don't just support the people who literally walk on them or drive on them or ride on them. They support the overall development and value of our property and our ability to support a population and the amenities that we love and care about in Charlotte. That is why you have a general taxation program. That is fundamentally why government exists. Otherwise, the private sector could just provide it.
Should we be charging? There is no rate increase for links or for buses in the CATS budget this year. And in fact, there aren't even turnstiles on the light rail, so we know there are a lot of freeloaders getting on the light rail.
And there's not a single toll road in the city of Charlotte.
Okay, so why is there no? I mean, why are we not more? I've heard this from people. Why are we not more aggressive about collecting from the people who use it?
Right, and that is because we don't want to create disincentives from using it. I expect that we will be looking at fares going into the future. It's a balance between the fare box and general tax support, but just as you would not be able to function on the roads or the sidewalks with just a user pay system, you won't be able to function in a transit system in just a user pay system either. And while we create such a artificial distinction between and among our different modes of transportation is not necessarily fully rational. And we really need to think of our transportation system as an integrated whole and what it does to support the overall growth and quality of life in our city.
Okay. Charlotte City Manager Ron Carley, thank you so much for coming in to talk about budget with us. And Budget Director Randy Harrington, thanks so much for being on Charlotte Talks.
Thank you, Julie.
Yes, the City Council is scheduled to take a final vote on the budget next week. That's June 10th, next Monday. And while we let Mr. Carley and Mr. Harrington jump up from their seats, they're going to swap places as we switch gears here now and focus on the county budget with interim county manager Bobby Shields and budget director Hung Yi. So thanks to both of you for sliding into those seats for us, the hot seat, if you will. Mr. Shields has recommended a 2.5 cent increase in the county's property tax rate. When you pay property tax on your home, part of that tax goes to the city, part of it goes to the county. The city and the county set their own rates, and it all adds up to what you pay on that property tax bill. So Mr. Shields' recommendation would add about $50 to the home value, to a home that's valued at $20,000. That would be an additional
$200,000.
Thank you. $200,000 value home, you'd be paying an extra $50 a year with that recommendation. So, Mr. Shields, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And let me have you just get up on that microphone a little bit more. And you have taken the position that Mecklenburg County commissioners have a choice. Either they need to raise property taxes or cut services. So is there truly no other option? What about the county just being more efficient?
Well, being more efficient, in my mind, is almost the same as cutting services, because I believe we are very efficient right now, and in order to increase efficiency, it means consolidating, reducing, doing things a little differently. We can look at that, and we have looked at that.
How significant would the cuts actually be if we didn't raise taxes by 2.5 cents on the rate?
Well, it really depends on what the Board of County Commissioners decide to cut. I'll give you a quick example. In the budget, we're recommending an increase of about $21 million for Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. The total 2.5 cents would represent around $27 million increase. So $21 million of the $27 million is the increase strictly for Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools.
Mm. And yet they've asked for $28 million, I think. So did you consider in your recommendation, you know, saying let's do 2.7 cents and give them all that they're asking for?
Well, we consider everything that people ask for, but at the end of the day, we had to be realistic. What did we think was realistic and what could the county sustain? That's why we recommended what we did.
So let's roll the clock back a year. Last year, the county actually lowered its property tax rate 2.44 cents, correct?
That's correct.
So should now you're going to raise it. You're basically going to reinstate what we rolled back last year in that property tax cut. Should we not have just kept that rate where it was?
From last year?
We went to the trouble to lower it, and now we're going to raise it again. What happened?
What we do every year, we look at the service needs. We look at the revenues coming in, and we also look at the service needs. You probably heard some reference to the revaluation that was done. This year, we are actually seeing a decrease in the value. Now, that's not the primary driver. The numbers that I gave you earlier that would represent the 2.5% increase is Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. We also have about $1.8 million for the assessor's office. Homeless support services, that's a new service, it's around $1.3 million. And then school health nurse, around $1 million. If you just take those alone, that is more than the property tax increase that we're talking about. So, in effect, we have really economized even in this budget that we are presenting this year.
Okay, so let's be a little more specific. You say we've economized to be able to add some money in some new areas. What might people expect to see? Give me an example of something that people could expect to see that they haven't been seeing from the county as a result of your proposed budget.
Well, the new program, the homelessness services, mm-hmm. That's a brand new program in conjunction with the Charlotte Housing Authority.
What is that? What does it do? Can you summarize that for me? Yes.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
What that is it's really a partnership between the city, the county, and the Foundation for the Carolinas to really provide a broad array of services for homelessness. So the city provides sort of, I guess, to your metaphor before, the hardware. They provide the buildings, the space. The county provides the support services to help the individuals that are in the program get out of their homelessness state, the supports of the mental health services, the social services, to try to get the people from a state of homelessness to something else where they're no longer homeless or they're fully employed or have a job.
Well, the county has been providing homeless services and overseeing some of the federal funds that come through for that. So is this a new program that we're starting?
This is a new program, and it's really an expansion of the existing homelessness services, and to provide the services in a new way between the city, the county, and Foundation for the Carolinas.
Focused specifically, I realize neither of you are the homeless services person in the county, but is this focused on chronically homeless individuals? Is it focused on families, on women? What's the focus?
You might recall that we have been looking at the homeless population in Charlotte-Mecklenburg for a while. And for several years, we have talked a lot about reducing homelessness. This is one of Mecklenburg County's efforts to do something about homelessness. And the best way to do something in this community that we've learned is to do it through partnerships. Mecklenburg County alone, or any of the other agencies that Hung mentioned, cannot do it alone. We have a homelessness problem in Mecklenburg County. And the problem is a problem for all of us to share. It's good that people are attracted to Mecklenburg County, but as more people are attracted, we have issues like homelessness, and we certainly need to do something about it.
So how much money is that then that will be going into the homeless services?
It's $1.3 million additional money.
Okay, so not huge, but it's certainly a new effort, which is not something we always see.
Right.
Are you funding new programs, the county does put money into, and I know you had a public hearing the other night where it was many hours of people coming, asking for some county money for their programs and their interests. Are there new nonprofits that are new to the county that are going to be receiving money that haven't gotten county money before?
Actually, there are four new ones. Big Brothers and Big Sisters, there's some additional funding. The Community Culinary School of Charlotte is receiving additional funding. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Housing Partnership, another partnership for housing. And also the Levine Jewish Community Center.
Okay, good. We have to take a quick break. We'll come right back and talk more about the county budget here on WFAE Charlotte Talks.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and WTVI PBS Charlotte, presenting Celtic Thunder Mythology on Thursday, 8 p.m. Details at pbscharlotte.org. Coming up next, in about 20 minutes on the Diane Rehm Show, the White House is at odds with Congress over setting student loan rates, what each plan could mean for students, families, and the cost of a college education. The battle over student loan rates on the Diane Rehm Show, next at 10, here on 90.7 WFAE. If you'd like to join the budget conversation this morning, give us a call now, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323 or 800-603-WFAE. You can reach us online at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We'll be right back.
Lollapalooza you've heard about, right? Health Datapalooza? Probably not so much, but it is gonna be awesome.
Patients will identify doctors who are actually better to take care of them with their conditions. And it's gonna help us save money because patients are gonna have fewer complications and they're gonna get better value for their dollar.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, crowdsourcing healthcare next time on Marketplace from APN.
Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE.
Welcome back. This is Charlotte Talks on WFAE. I'm Julie Rose, sitting in for Mike Collins. We have with us Interim Mecklenburg County Manager Bobby Shields and Budget Director Hung Yi from Mecklenburg County to dissect the proposed county budget for next year. If you'd like to ask a question about the county budget, you can call 704-926-9323 or email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Mr. Shields, something that the county has been grappling with for a couple of years now is the 2011 revaluation where the county went out, the assessor's office, and revalued all the properties, everybody's home and business in Mecklenburg County, and assessed a new value for us to pay taxes on. But we have since learned that there were some flaws, significant flaws, in that process, and it's being redone. What effect has – and people are – according to the legislation that's being passed in Raleigh, people will be getting refunds potentially, some of those individuals who overpaid. So how is that affecting what you're proposing for next year? Where is that money going to come from and how much is it going to cost the county?
Actually, the money is from the bill you're talking about, House Bill 200. That will actually come from our fund balance.
The savings? Is that what fund balance means?
That's correct.
Okay.
The savings from Mecklenburg County. If I can just take a moment to tell you, and people have cautioned me to be careful in saying this, but I have to say it again. The problem with the revaluation was really a problem of customer service. We have a process in place where people can always appeal their value, but what happened when they got into the entire appeals process, they did not receive the care and the service that they could have received, and so that made the situation worse. Now, what the House Bill 200 is designed to do, which is unfortunate, is setting the precedence where there would be refunds, whereas if customer service has been correct, we would have just gone through the appeals process, the adjustment would have been made, and there would not be any such thing as retroactive refunds. We're plowing new ground, and Mecklenburg County, in my opinion, is paying a huge price for a failure in basic customer service.
And what is that price? What is the monetary value? How much from your fund balance will you need to spend on these refunds?
Well, we actually don't know the true amount yet, but I'm expecting this upwards of $30, maybe $40 million.
In your budget, there is also, I think, $1 million-something for the county assessor's office itself, an increase in the assessor's budget. Is that to directly address the customer service problems that you're talking about?
That's one thing it will address. People might remember that during the recession that we had, there was actually a cut in staffing in the assessor's office. And that occurred at the time that we had a mandatory revaluation. So what we're trying to do is, yes, to improve customer service, but we're also trying to staff up to a more reasonable level so that we'll be ready to deal with the ongoing assessment that we do for all properties in Mecklenburg County.
So you say the money for those refunds is coming out of our savings account. So this property tax increase that you are recommending is not paying for refunds? You're not raising our taxes in order to pay for refunds?
No, let me be clear. There's actually two components. The refunds, that's the new bill. That's the refunds from the new bill. That's coming from the savings or our fund balance. the decrease in the value, that does indeed have an impact on the amount of money that we get from property tax. It does impact that.
So you said in your presentation to the county commissioners a few weeks ago that the county's property tax base is shrinking. And Hung, do you want to explain what that means exactly, that our property tax base is shrinking?
Well, sure. For last year's budget, the fiscal year 13 budget, we built the budget based on a property tax base of $116.2 billion.
Meaning that all the property in the county was, if you add all the values of it, it was worth it.
$116.2 billion.
Okay.
All the homes, all the businesses, all the, you know, office towers you see, commercial, residential, industrial, plus all the cars, boats, personal property, everything.
That was the number that was assigned in that 2011 revaluation.
Well, that
value.
It's plus the growth, yes.
Okay.
Since 2011.
Okay.
The number we are using for fiscal year 2014 is $114.2 billion. It is $1.9 billion less than last year's budget.
In terms of property value. So, and that's because we had to back off the values because people appealed, and it turns out in other cases they were incorrectly assigned.
That's right. We lost in terms of value about $3.1 billion overall. The tax base shrunk $3.1 billion from 13 to 14. At the same time, there's $1.7 billion worth of new construction, new growth, new property. So when you net the two together, you know, 3.1 minus 1.7, you're losing about $1.9 billion worth of property.
And we expected some loss in appeals value. Within the reval, you have appeals and you have losses, so we expected that. And what the point is, why it's not related, when we approached the services for Mecklenburg County, we truly looked at the service needs. We looked at it independently of what we thought it should be, and that's the way we should do. We should look at the service need, then we should make a recommendation based on what we believe the service needs are. And then that gets into the choices and consequences that the Board of County Commissioners now must weigh as they decide what to fund and what not to fund.
So part of this difficult question that you've asked them to deal with, which is either raise taxes or cut services, is directly tied to the revaluation of 2011 and the need to revalue the revaluation.
Right. The revenues coming in are indeed based on the value of the real property and the other revenues that we have coming in.
Now, where does most of the county's money come from? What's the largest source of revenue?
Real property.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
Real estate, the
property,
value.
Property taxes.
Right, property taxes.
Is sales taxes makes up any
It does, portion? But not a significant part. The overwhelming majority, just like the city, is property tax.
Okay, so this revaluation really did sort of mess with the budgeting process, I guess.
As you would expect, it's a big deal.
Okay. And in collecting all of that money, where does most of it go for the county's portion of the budget?
A huge portion of it actually goes to educational services, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools and Central Piedmont Community College. Then we have the county services as well. We also receive, Mecklenburg County receive, a large amount of federal and state funds as well.
For what?
Mostly for the social services and mental health, the MechLink, things of that nature.
Okay. I mentioned at the top of this show that the county handles some of maybe the softer side stuff. So you're saying there's state and federal money for social services.
Right.
And health services as well. Is that part
That's
of what
correct.
You're talking about? So the majority, the largest share goes to education. Now, CMS has its own board, its own budgeting process, and they come to you and they ask for that money, and then they also need state money. So how is that system working this year, and how close are we to getting some sort of an agreement between what CMS board says it needs and what you think you can put forward and what the state says it'll do?
Well, if you think about it, they asked for $28 million and we're providing $21 million, I would say we're already close. Fortunately, we have a very good relationship with CMS, and we're trying to maintain that as we move through the budget process.
What are you allowing for in that $21 million additional that you're giving to CMS? What does that pay for?
Well, our model for funding education is to pay for what we call sustaining operations costs. So, you know, utilities, electricity, water, all those costs. As you mentioned earlier, as they increase, they also increase for the schools. So we pay for all of that. Plus, you know, every year they add more students. The school system grows. So they, as they add more students, we provide additional funding so that we're maintaining almost the same cost per student or budget per student. So we provide them for sustaining operations and for growth. In addition, this year is a little bit different because there are all these other mandates coming from the state for doing all the testing electronically. And so they've provided a whole slew of requests for technology funds. And we're not in a position to judge what's the most important or appropriate thing for the county to fund. So a small piece of the $21 million is just for them, you know, to figure out what they ought to be paying for in terms of electronic stuff.
So this is something I've always wondered. I mean, how much autonomy does the county's charter allow CMS to decide how to spend the county money? Because there are commissioners over time who have wanted to very specifically say, this million is for this at the schools, this million is for this. Does the county have the ability to do that, and to what extent?
Well, the Board of Education really has the responsibility for prioritizing and allocating funds. They have a huge, they mean in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, they actually have a huge budget. And when we get in and try to tell them what to spend on what where, it's kind of playing the game of pressing the balloon because they have such a huge pool of money to spend from. So it really would be a game, but they have the responsibility for prioritizing and deciding how to spend monies allocated to Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools.
Now, the county is one of the largest employers in the region. So how much of your budget is for those people who work for the county? And I guess that includes school teachers. And what are you doing for them in this budget?
Well, we are recommending a 2% increase in the salary base for raises for county employees. We did have raises last year. We have a pay-for-performance system where in order to qualify for a raise, you have to be evaluated and you have to demonstrate that you are entitled to receive that based on performance.
So it's not an automatic everybody gets a cost of living increase?
No, it's not.
Okay, it's based on performance. And that's and that also includes school teachers will get 2%, or are they in a separate?
Well, their increases are really based on what the state decides to do. And I understand that the state now is looking at a 1% increase, and that's what we have included in the budget for the teachers that we fund.
Let's talk 1%. About CPCC, the community college system the county also funds. CPCC experienced significant cuts during the recession as part of the college system for the state. And they've asked for, I think, $6.5 million almost dollars, but you're recommending a $3 million boost. Is there more we can do for CPCC?
Well, there's more that we wish we could do. And again, that's going to be up to the Board of County Commissioners. Our recommendation based on our review of what they requested is the $3 million increase.
How much of this budget is Harry Jones's budget? I mean, you made the proposal, I think, a week after he was let go by county commissioners. So is this really Harry's budget?
Harry has his stamp on this budget, but one needs to understand the process that we go through. This is almost a six-month effort, and it includes Hung Yee's staff and all of the general managers and a number of other people, the agencies, the department, working together to bring a recommendation to Harry. That recommendation was essentially done at the time of Harry. Harry's budget would have been different, slightly different.
In what ways?
I would say in most – well, I don't know for sure, but it would have been different.
Well, did you change – I mean, was the presentation already made and you went in and changed a few slides or things that you pulled out or added that he hadn't had in his budget?
We made some changes after Harry left.
Harry
probably would have made some changes as well. So it's hard for me to say whether Harry would have made the same changes. But in a diverse world that we live in, I'm confident that if Harry were still here, the budget would be different. I can't tell you how it would be different, but it would be a different budget.
I think you can also be confident that the interaction with the county commissioners would be different, too. I mean, that has been a significant upheaval that we've seen, and even some very public bickering that county commissioners have had over Mr. Jones and how his dismissal was handled and all that led up to that. So how concerned are you as an interim in this position, having to handle this on the fly? How concerned are you that all of that interaction, the bickering, the baggage will affect this budget and these deliberations?
I made 3 points to the board during the budget presentation. One was about focus on employees, a focus on services, and the last one was about the focus on relationships. We have to work on relationship. And when I say we, I'm talking about all of the partners, including the Board of County Commissioners. I have a good relationship with the commissioners, and I'm working as hard as I can to sustain and maintain that relationship.
Do you want this job? Would you like to be the county manager?
If I get an opportunity, I intend to apply for the job because I believe I have a lot more to offer to Mecklenburg County.
And just finally, the county budget, the county commissioners have identified priorities as part of the system that you use for budgeting funds. Can you just quickly run through for me what the priorities are? For priority one, I guess you call it, is what?
Priority one really deals with the health and human services, and we also include debt service as priority. Those are things that we have to do, and we include those in the top priority because there's really not much need to really talk about those.
Okay, so you say that our very first priority is paying off the mortgage, I guess, on the various buildings that we have.
Education, debt service, and then the health, some of the health and human services focuses as well.
Okay, schools, debt service. And then, so what's priority two? And when you get down to priority, I don't know, five, six, seven, is there really any money down there?
There are actually seven priorities, and most of the monies allocated is actually in priorities one, two, and three. Okay. You're right. When you get down to priority five, six, and seven, there's really not much money.
I guess if I can offer this, in priorities one and two, you're really looking at the things that are mandated by the state or the federal government that counties have to provide.
Okay.
So that's usually what's in one or two. Like debt service is a mandatory expense. You must pay it. When you get down to five, six, and seven, you're really looking at your fully discretionary services. No one is expecting or mandating the county to provide it. We are doing it because we believe that it's an important service to provide to the community.
So what's down there?
You go from schools, debt service, sheriff's office in one and two, sheriff's office, detention, jails are in priority level two, health services, mental health, and public health are in two, and then as you move to three and four, you're looking at park and rec and libraries. As you get down to five, six, and seven, in seven, we spend about a little bit over $1 million. So there's very little in seven.
Okay.
But you're looking at almost very, very discretionary services.
Very good. Mecklenburg County Interim Manager Bobby Shields and Budget Director Hung Yi, thank you so much to both of you for coming in to talk budgets with us on Charlotte Talks.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
June 18th is the Mecklenburg County Commissioner budget vote. This is Charlotte Talks on WFAE.